today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
We don't deal with sin and we don't feed on the Word of God, or we feed on malice, envy, and jealousy and hypocrisy, and we lose our appetite for the Word of God. And by the way, I think there's a significant tie-in here. If you don't deal with these sins in your life, you will not hunger for God's Word, verse 2. If you don't do what it says in verse 1, lay these sins aside, you're not going to have an appetite for God's Word. It's going to spoil your appetite. You eat junk food, you don't want good food. You snack between meals, you don't want dinner.
Pastor John will be telling you in today's message that you need to grow in your faith. And to do that, you need to walk away from sin. You can't expect to keep your current lifestyle when you become a Christian. Those things that you repent from must be ousted from your life. Don't keep coming back to the same mistakes and expect to have your faith growing. Exchange that time for time in the Word and time spent getting to know your Father through prayer. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 as he begins his message, It's Time to Grow Up.
I want you to follow me in your Bibles. I hope you have them open. Beginning in verse 1 of 1 Peter 2, Peter says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes or newly born ones, desire the sincere milk of the Word." Why? "That you may grow thereby. If so be," verse 3, "that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I heard a term this week that really caught my attention. It was the term Peter Pan syndrome. You ever heard of the Peter Pan syndrome? Now, I heard the term and I thought, this has got to be a joke. Peter Pan syndrome. And I understood the significance of the idea that a person doesn't want to grow up. But I actually Googled that and I was amazed at how much information came up. And that even in Wikipedia, there's quite a few articles about it. It's the pop psychology concept of an adult, usually a male, who is socially immature. You ever know somebody like that? A grown man that is acting like a boy, doesn't want to get married, doesn't want to have kids, doesn't want to hold down a job, wants mom and dad to take care of him, wants to just have a good time, and basically just refuses to live up. We've actually coined a term for that. I found it in the Urban Dictionary. The word is a manolescent. The dude is a manolescent. I thought, this is really crazy. What we called them was just babies, you know. It's a grown man that hasn't got out of diapers socially and doesn't want to take responsibility and doesn't want to grow up. It's interesting that as I read about this Peter Pan syndrome, it actually made reference to Michael Jackson and his Neverland and his fascination with Peter Pan and his desire never to grow up and to be a child his whole life. So it really is something that we find today. People just don't want to grow up. They don't want to mature. And I know that it's challenging, the growing pains. To going from adolescence to adulthood is a very hard transition. But sadly, as we look at this text, I believe that we find Christians who are following the Peter Pan syndrome spiritually, and they don't want to grow up. Now, Peter, in our epistle, not Peter Pan, but Peter the Apostle, Peter tells us in verse 2, I want you to look at it with me. He says, "As newly born babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow by it," or that you may grow thereby. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Good advice. So a child speaks like a child acts like a child, but when you become a man or an adult, you put away childish things. So my question for you as a Christian today, have you put away childish things? Have you put away the things of your spiritual infancy, and are you willing to grow in your walk and your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you growing as a child of God, or do you want to remain a spiritual adolescence? Now, the theme of this entire epistle in chapter 5, verse 12, Peter says, this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. And so the title of my whole series in Peter is Stand, and it's broken into three sections: standing in salvation, standing in submission, and standing in suffering. We're still in the section of salvation and how we should live as saved people. And Peter told us that we need to live in holiness. Peter told us that we need to live in a reverential fear of God. And Peter told us that we need to love one another with a pure heart fervently. And that we've been born and given a new nature into God's family. Therefore, now, as newly born ones, we need to feed on God's word that we may grow thereby. Actually, verses 1 to 3 of chapter 2 begin back in chapter 1, verse 22. It's one section. And so this is the second half of the sermon I preached on love one another. That is growing in the Christian life. Growing in holiness, growing in a reverence and fear of God, and growing in love for one another. Now, Peter gives us three steps to take if we're going to grow. This is simple, but not simplistic, and I want you to see these three steps. Step 1, step 2, step 3 are verses 1, 2, and 3. Really simple if you're taking notes. Step 1 is in verse 1, and it is we must lay aside. We must lay aside. I want you to notice it in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speaking. Now, notice in verse 1 that Peter opens with a wherefore. So he goes back to verse 22 of chapter 1, and he says that we are to be pure, we have purified our souls in obeying the truth. We should love one another with a pure heart fervently. Then we were born again of the word of God. So what he's basically saying in the second chapter is now go on to grow, go on to mature, go on in Christian love, learn to love one another, which is the Christian life. Now, I want you to notice that Peter says that you were born into God's family in chapter 1, verse 23. Now you need to lay aside verse 1 of chapter 2. Now, this laying aside in verse 1 of chapter 2 is a picture of taking off soiled garments. Now, I trust that most of you come to church today, you put on a clean outfit, you put on clean clothes. The other day I was working in the yard and I got my shirt all soiled, and I didn't realize it until hours later when I'd run some errands and I got home, I'd taken off my shirt, all this dirt falls off my shirt. I'm thinking I probably should have changed my shirt before I ran my errands, because it's like, hey, there's the dirty pastor, you know. Wherever I go, I run into people, I got dirt in my hair, it was all on my back and stuff. But as I took my shirt off, all this dirt comes flying off. I shook my shirt like a good adult man, and I put it in the clothes hamper. I want my wife to hear this. She's here this morning. You talk about Peter Pan syndrome. Why won't men put their clothes in the hamper? Why do they throw their socks all over the house? Because they're Peter Pan. They don't have to grow up, you know. So I put it in the hamper, and my wife washes in. I put a fresh shirt on. But this imagery, I said all that to say this, laying aside is literally the word or phrase used for taking off soiled garments. So here's the first step, and it's negative. If you're going to grow, we need to get rid of sin in our life and sins in our life if we are going to grow as God's children. Sinful attitudes and words that hinder my growth. Laying aside is a command. In the Greek, it's an imperative. When he says there in verse 1, wherefore laying aside, it is a command. It's not an option. And it's in the tense of once and for all. So you take that soiled garment off. You take the malice off, the envy off, the jealousy off, and you lay it all aside that you might grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. You don't condone these sins. You don't excuse these sins. You don't cover these sins. You take them off or you put them off. Now, all of these five sins mentioned in verse 1 are marks of immaturity. Note that. They are marks of immaturity. How do you know as a Christian if you're still a spiritual infant? Then you'll be practicing these sins. How do you know if you're growing as a Christian? Then you're going to take off these sins. If these sins are still prominent in your life, you're a spiritual baby. You might not even be a spiritual baby. You might be unregenerated, or maybe you're not even saved, and you need to be born again into the family of God. Now, what are these sins? There's five of them. Let's look at them individually. The first thing that we're to take off if we're going to grow is all malice. Now, I want you to note the repetition of the word all there. All malice. Three times he uses the word all. It's an all-inclusive word, malice. It's used for evil. It's translated ill will and spite. It's the desire to get people back for hurting us. It's a spirit of unforgiveness. It's saying, I'll get you, or I'll pay you back, or I'm going to do something mean back to you because you've done something mean or hurtful to me. You've hurt me, now I want to hurt you. That's what malice is. It's the desire to hurt someone else. And we won't lay it aside. I heard the story of Leonardo da Vinci, that as he was painting The Last Supper, that someone had hurt him deeply and he had an enemy that he disliked. And as he was painting the people in The Last Supper, he actually painted the face of his enemy in the place of Judas Iscariot. He goes, I'm going to get him. I'm going to paint him as Judas in here with the disciples. And then he took out another brush and he went afterwards to paint the face of Jesus, and it wouldn't come together for him. And he tried again and again. No matter how much he tried, he couldn't paint the face of Jesus. And then he realized that until he let go of his malice and his hatred, he wouldn't be able to see the face of Jesus clearly or paint him. And so he took his brush back out and he repainted the face of Judas, taking out his enemy. And then and only then could he go and paint the face of Jesus. I believe that there's a lesson in that for us as Christians. If you have malice in your heart towards somebody, you're not only a spiritual infant, but you're not going to be used by God. God cannot use you when you are filled with malice and hate and unforgiveness toward others, and you won't be able to clearly see the face of Jesus. The second sin that we need to take off, like a soiled garment, is all guile. All guile, verse 1. It's the sin of deceitfulness. Other modern translations translated deceitfulness or crookedness in dealing with people. It disrupts our fellowship. Now, interesting thing about this word guile, it's the very word used for a fishing hook. Now, I'm not a fisherman. The only time I went deep sea fishing with a friend, he had a boat and he took me out. We went all the way out to San Clemente Island. I love the ocean, but I'm usually surfing. I'm not way out there on a boat and I don't know how to fish and everything. And they handed me a pole. I'm handing a pole and I see this boat coming real fast right up to us. And this boat came up and the ocean police, whatever you call the guys, you know. Coast Guard. It was like the fisherman police, I guess. You can tell I'm a real fisherman. And that was a game warden type guy. And he pulls up and he says, can I see your license? I said, my driver's license? He said, no, sir, a fishing license. And it's like the thought never crossed my mind. Fishing license? I don't have a fishing license. Oh, what do you mean fishing license? Oh, sir, I got a huge fine. It was like $185, you know. I'm just holding the pole. I didn't even catch a fish. That's the last time I ever went fishing, by the way. But you know, you guys that like to fish, you are deceivers. Because you don't want that fish to know what's under the bait. You have a hook lurking in that bait. You even call them lures, you know. You put the bait on there, you know, shh, don't tell the fish. You deceivers, you. You want to hook them. Well, that's the very word that's used for this word here. And it means that they're deceiving, they're deceptful in their dealings with people. They're not honest. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21, Paul says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. I love that. You know what a Christian is to be? An open book. He's to be an honest person. We're to speak the truth in love. Heard the story of Abraham Lincoln. You know, he's called Honest Abe. And he was a lawyer, and a man that was kind of crooked wanted him to defend him in a case in the courtroom. And Lincoln said, you know, you got a good case technically, but you know you're guilty. And so I advise that you find yourself another lawyer, because if I'm trying to defend you, I will be thinking in my mind, Lincoln, you're a liar. Lincoln, you're a liar. And he said, I might just forget myself and say it out loud. So he says, you better find yourself another lawyer. You know, as Christians, we're to be honest in all our dealings with people. If we're going to grow as a believer, we have to abandon or take off deceit. The third thing we get rid of is hypocrisies. And we've talked about this sin before. It's a sin of play acting or pretense. Some have pretending to be what you are not, being a phony, baloney. I heard of a dear black preacher in the South that said, be what you is and not what you ain't, because if you ain't what you is, then you is what you ain't. Woo, preach it, brother. I like that. Be what you is. And that's what a Christian should be, the real, genuine thing. And if you're play acting, then you're not growing as a Christian. And then number four in verse one, notice it is envy. Now, these are sins that are acceptable among the saints. These are the saints' acceptable sins. The New Living Translation has this jealousy. We understand that. That's a jealous spirit, a jealous spirit. And by the way, this is a common sin in the church. It's a malicious grudge toward others who have what you want. Somebody calls you up on the phone and says, man, praise God, you can't believe it. Somebody just gave me a brand new BMW. Praise the Lord. I'm really happy for you. Hang up the phone. God, I am bummed out right now. I deserve that car. I'm a better Christian. I'm more spiritual. I go to church more often. Why didn't I get that car? So have you ever gotten mad when somebody else has something good happen to them? What is wrong with us? Hey, we're going to Hawaii. I've never been to Hawaii. Yeah, we're going to do a whole vacation in Hawaii. I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. Why do you get to go to Hawaii? I want to go to Hawaii. You know, and you're just jealous. Maybe you're a young person and your friends are all getting married and you haven't gotten married yet. Especially you ladies, you young girls, you know, it's like going to your friends' weddings and weddings. So when will it be my wedding, you know? And it almost gets to where you go to a friend's wedding and you're all dead, you're all bummed out. Like, yeah, congratulations. It's like, that should be my wedding. I should be marrying that dude right now. I'm a better catch than you are. And we're like jealous because God does something good. And other people, I have a few friends that just amaze me. And on the positive side, one of the qualities that I stand out qualities that I, when anything good happens to somebody else, they rejoice. When something bad happens to someone else, they weep. They rejoice with those who rejoice and they weep with those who weep. You know what that is? That's a sign of maturity. That's a sign of growing up in the Lord. You become spiritually mature. You put aside jealousies. Then there is also, fifthly and lastly, evil speakings, slander, literally speaking against or talking down another person. We call it backbiting. Notice in verse 1, it's all evil speakings. It's getting down on other people. Christians like to do that. They get together and like, who can we cap on? Who we can get down on? And who's weird that we can talk about? Shame on us. We shouldn't be backbiting, is what it is. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. God help us to think before we speak. Is it true? Is it loving? Is it edifying? Three questions you can ask before words come out of your mouth. Is it true? Is it loving? Is it necessary? It may not be necessary. Do I really need to say that? I find that quite often that's one of the things that really helps me. Do I really need to say this right now? The answer is no. What value is it going to have? None. It may be true, but it's not loving. It may be true, but it's not necessary. So you don't need to talk about it. And it's actually talking behind other people's backs. That should be not characteristic of a true child of God. And so if we're going to keep growing as believers, we need to grow in holiness and love, which I believe are synonymous with casting off these sinful deeds. So take a moment, step one, and ask yourself, are there dirty garments that I need to take off? Do I backbite? Am I jealous? Do I have malice in my heart toward other people? Am I practicing hypocrisy or duplicity in the way that I live? Those are the negative. Now, we move to the second step, verse 2. And the second step, write this down, is we must feed on the Word. This is the point that so many Christians are aware of, but again, we don't do. We don't deal with sin, and we don't feed on the Word of God. Or we feed on malice, envy, and jealousy, and hypocrisy, and we lose our appetite for the Word of God. And by the way, I think there's a significant tie-in here. If you don't deal with these sins in your life, you will not hunger for God's Word, verse 2. If you don't do what it says in verse 1, lay these sins aside, you're not going to have an appetite for God's Word. It's going to spoil your appetite. You eat junk food, you don't want good food. You snack between meals, you don't want dinner. So I believe that it keeps us from growing because we're losing our appetite for the Word of God. Go back with me now to verse 2. He says, this is what you need to do. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, in order that you may grow. Now, Peter's using an analogy. The analogy is a newborn baby. The first analogy is take off soiled garments. The second analogy is like a baby desires milk, you as a Christian should desire the Word. Why? Because this is how you're going to grow. Matter of fact, this is the only way you can grow. I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again. The only way for you to grow as a Christian is by feeding on this book we call the Bible. You can't grow by Christian entertainment. You can't grow by going to church. Do you know you can't grow by going to church? Now, if you're going to church where you're getting taught the Word and you're feeding on the Word, and then you feed yourself during the week, you're going to grow. I'm just giving you appetizers on Sunday morning. But I do pray that it kind of develops in your taste buds a palate. When you come on Sunday and we study the Word and you go, wow, that's good. Wow, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Wow, man, what else is in the Bible? And you start studying the Bible on your own. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to develop your taste buds by giving you the pure Word of God, the unadulterated Scripture, that you develop a flavor and a taste and a desire and a hunger for the Word of God. It's not enough for you just to come to listen to the preaching on Sunday. You must pick up your Bible and study it every day. Now, the analogy of a newborn. Those of you that have been parents, you have children, you know that when a baby comes home from the hospital, the minute it's born, what does it want? Milk, right? Doesn't want a new watch. Doesn't want an iPhone. Doesn't want a car. He doesn't ask for a Dr. Pepper or Coca-Cola. Hey, Doc, you got any Coke? Maybe in a commercial, but not in real life. When the baby goes, wah, wah, that's my impersonation of a newborn baby. What does that baby want? One thing and only one thing, milk.
You've grown up in your life. You've taken on more responsibility and independence. Your tastes and time management has changed, and you're a functioning member of society. Pastor John shared today that this process needs to happen in your spiritual life too. If you give your life to Christ but then decline to change your life to remove sin, how will you ever mature as a believer?
Hi everyone, it's Pastor John. I'm so glad you're listening to Revival Radio. I want to encourage you to check out our website, revival.tv. There's a whole lot of great resources there that you can tap into with past programs and archived messages. If you're a student of the Word and want to study deeper God's Word, check out the website, revival.tv.
God is good, and He's worth knowing. He's also worth continuing to learn about over time and with eagerness. The more you can learn about your Creator, the more you'll want to learn about Him. But Pastor John will share next time on Revival Radio that you won't grow in your desire to know God if you don't step away from sin. If you don't spend time in God's Word, you can't expect to grow in faith. Tune in again as Pastor John continues teaching through his series in the book of 1 Peter next time on Revival Radio.